diverse, independent, and yours. CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Are we alone? Are we being influenced by non-human intelligences? Do UFOs, near-death experiences, and alien abductions exist? Are we in a battle between good and evil? And is our future as a civilization at stake? Today, we'll be exploring contact with non-human intelligence as part of humanity's ancient history with our guest, Mark Gober. Mark Gober, besides being an advisor to technology companies and previously working as an investment banking analyst in New York, as well as being a leading strategist for intellectual property, is a brilliant curator and researcher of various scientific papers and books about consciousness, biological processes, psychic phenomena, near-death experiences, and quantum physics. He graduated magna cum laude from Princeton University, where he wrote his award-winning thesis on Daniel Kahneman's Nobel Prize-winning prospect theory, and was elected a captain of Princeton's Division I tennis team. Gober is an author of several books, including An End to Upside-Down Thinking, Dispelling the Myth that the Brain Produces Consciousness, and An End to Upside-Down Contact, UFOs, Aliens, and Spirits, and Why Their Ongoing Interaction with Human Civilization Matters. So please join us for the next hour as we explore alien contact with our guest, Mark Gober. I'm speaking with Mark from his home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Justine. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to see you again. Let's just first, are alien entities a fantasy or are they real?
Well, defining the word aliens is an important part of that question. The way I think about it is that human beings are not the only advanced intelligence that exists. And what those other intelligences are, that is a different question. And I think there are probably many species that exist, some of which are physical, others of which are probably multidimensional, i.e. spiritual. And once exploring this topic, it's number one, mind expanding, because through our perceptual organs of our eyes and our ears and our ordinary perceptions in everyday life, we don't see these sorts of things. But there is a lot of research out there suggesting that we are not alone. And this is probably an ancient phenomenon. And there are people who do seem to have pretty amazing encounters.
And when we talk about these, the actual entities that people might see or say they encounter, whether it's psychically or whether it's in physicality, there are different types. that are described. So it's not just one, as you say, it's multidimensional. It's not just one particular species, so to speak. Can you describe them?
Yes. So there seem to be many species. To give an example, in near-death experiences, when a person, let's say, is in a state of cardiac arrest, their brain is essentially off, and they go into some other world, at least their consciousness does, they often talk about encountering either spiritual entities or beings of light. So these seem to be distinct species, effectively, but they're not physical. But then there are other species that are more humanoid that people report, sometimes in conjunction with an alien craft or some kind of advanced craft like a UFO. And there are some, I mean, it sounds crazy, but people talk about gray aliens repeatedly. They talk about beings that are insectoid, praying mantis type beings, reptilian beings, and lots in between. So this is, it's not something I would have written about if it was just a case here and there. This is reported by many, many people. And it's been reported throughout history across many different cultures. So it seems to be very diverse.
Right. When we think about this, we say, oh, well, these people talked about like these insect beings. So those other ones are not real. You know, I mean, it just gets confusing because, as you say, when I was reading your book, I realized, oh, there are many different kinds of beings that come to us or that are contact us at some point. That's what's so confusing. And I think that the big question then is, are they here for good things? Are they here to benefit humankind? Or are they here for their own agendas that might be like enslaving humankind? So, what does your research show about that?
It's a very good question. It's one I still think about all the time because it seems to me that there are different beings that have different intentions. It doesn't seem like a monolithic agenda, that there are beings that really want to help humanity and others who might want to enslave or utilize humanity or extract our energy through fear or something like that. And even more interesting here is that the beings seem to be so advanced, or at least some of them, that they can alter our perception. So to give an example, John Mack, who was the head of psychiatry at Harvard, Pulitzer Prize winner, a very credible person who studied many encounters that human beings claim to have with non-human intelligences. What he wrote in his book is that the aliens appear to be consummate shapeshifters, meaning that they can appear one way, but they're not actually that way. So they can manipulate reality in a way that's so much more advanced than humans are. And that makes things difficult too, because you could have a being that could masquerade as something very benevolent, but maybe it's actually not. So one of the themes for me that's emerged is that discernment is really critical for humanity as we try to wade through not only humans, but these other entities in terms of whether they want to help humanity or hurt us.
I remember there was something that you wrote about or reported in your research, and that was these people who describe a kind of classroom where there were certain entities that wanted to blend in, and we're talking about hybrids at this point, that blend in with humankind, but they didn't know how to interact. So they would have these classrooms like a big cocktail party or something and how to interact. Do you recall that?
Yeah. So you're referring to a book by Dr. David Jacobs from Temple University, who like Dr. John Mack from Harvard, he studied these allegations of people who had alien contact or even abductions. And what Dr. Jacobs focused on, at least based on what he was hearing from people that had these experiences allegedly, is that the alien beings were trying to create alien-human hybrids that were indistinguishable from humans, meaning that they could blend into our society, except they would have the enhanced mental capacities of these alien beings, meaning that they could manipulate consciousness, mind control. And he even said that they would have an ability or they lacked empathy, some of them. So it seems that human beings have something unique in us, that we have this range of emotion, but maybe some of the alien beings don't have that. And it's really remarkable to read the case studies that he reports, because he's just, these are just transcripts of things that sound like science fiction, like what you're describing. They had a mock cocktail party in one case where these, he calls them hybrids. These are basically, these are indistinguishable beings. They seem like humans, but they're actually alien human hybrids. But they would have a mock cocktail party so the beings could get used to interacting in a human manner. And some people also report that these hybrid beings, the hybrids, would sometimes like reside in the apartments of humans, and there would be the human caretaker, the abductee, that would try to teach them basics about how to interact in the world and just how to do things on Earth, eat, use the bathroom, just so they wouldn't seem so obviously to be non-human. I don't know what to say to things like this. I've never personally experienced it, but it is interesting that someone from Temple is writing about this.
Well, I know that we did an interview, I think it was with Paul Levy, on something called Wetiko, and it was about a mind virus that takes over the human consciousness, and that it was pretty scary stuff to hear this. So any comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's an important concept, and whether it relates to the alien human hybrids or it's just something more general, that there are forces in the universe that are benevolent and related to love, and others that are the inverse of that, and they might not always be physical. So I do think that controlling our own minds is critical in this process, because there are other influences that can steer us. So now I have a new appreciation for things like meditation and spiritual practices, because they really train the mind to be able to withstand maybe some of these influences that we can't always see.
And I'm thinking, too, one of the universal concepts in all religions and all spiritual thoughts, it seems to be the one constant that weaves its way through all of them, is what we call here in Western culture the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So it's about love, it's about doing, and it's about empathy, and it's about being loving towards one another. That's kind of, I think, a little bit of an antidote against the that foreign entity that might enter our consciousness that's not so loving.
Yes, I think that's a great point. You're reminding me of an analogy from a spiritual teacher, David Hawkins. He talked about how consciousness, or this universal love that we're a part of, is like the sun that's always shining. So it's always there, but there are clouds that get in the way and obscure or obstruct that intelligence, love that we're a part of. So you might call these forces like Wetiko, the darker energies, as like clouds. So it's just that the love is being obstructed. And as you say, the antidote is probably removing those clouds so that we're more directly connected.
And of course, the sun is always shining. So to know that's always available and the clouds are temporary. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Mark Gober, and he is the author of An Into Upside Down Contact: UFOs, Aliens, and Spirits, and Why Their Ongoing Interaction with Human Civilization Matters. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, markgober.com, and he spells his last name G-O-B-E-R, markgober.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Mark Gober, and we're talking about UFOs, aliens, spirits, all of these ways that these seemingly otherness comes to us in our lives. And I'm thinking about in history. I know that in your writings and your research, this is a phenomenon that has been with us for a long, long time. I mean, eons. And so how do we know that's true?
Well, number one, there is ancient artwork, so cave paintings and things like that, which could be interpreted as illustrations of encounters with non-human intelligences, but also many ancient writings from all over the world. They have tales of interacting with the star beings or the sky gods, for example, whether it's Native American cultures, really all over the world, Central American cultures. They might not describe the beings in exactly the same way, but they talk about other intelligences that might have taught them certain things or just explained things to them about how the world works. So to me, that's very powerful, the fact that there seems to be something universal, even though maybe the beings weren't identical. It could be that different species interacted with different cultures, and that could explain differences in religions or differences in traditions, for example. But reading scriptures, now I have a totally different perspective, because they might have described something that just sounded like a supernatural event, but now reading it from the lens of modern research, maybe those people were just having a spirit encounter or an alien encounter, for example, and they just used different language because at the time they spoke differently.
Do you mention one in particular? You mentioned many, but one of them that popped for me in Western culture in the Old Testament is the book of Ezekiel. And he had a tremendous vision that might have been an alien contact.
Yes, and it was very elaborate. He even talks about creatures that he experienced. And there have been many researchers that have talked about this, like Eric von Daniken, for example, his famous book, Chariots of the Gods, 1968, where he theorized, well, maybe this was a UFO that Ezekiel encountered, actually a craft with beings. And in the book, I tell a story of a researcher who tried to reverse engineer the craft based on what Ezekiel described. And allegedly, there was a patent issued called an omnidirectional wheel, issued in 1974, based on his reading of Ezekiel. So again, this is one interesting case. For me, the power is in the multitude of cases, that there are so many like this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm thinking of another that just popped out for me, and this is going to Africa, where a young woman disappeared like for a couple of years, I believe. And then she reappeared, and then she mentioned to her aunts and uncles and parents that, oh, I was with the Mamawati or something like that. So describe that one. That one, like, wow, and how that was received by the tribe.
Yeah, so that was a story told by Paul Wallace, who is an author, but he's also an Australian archdeacon. So he has a traditionally Christian perspective. And then he started to look at the Bible from the lens of, well, maybe some of these gods or God was an alien species, and maybe there was human hybridization. So he looked at it from that lens and now has a very different perspective. But he tells this story about the Mamiwata people. These are intelligent humanoids from Ghana. And there was a young girl, he was speaking to family members, and he heard the story of a young girl who was allegedly taken, and that the Mamiwata allegedly create hybrid beings where they would tweak human DNA, and they operated from underwater bases. And it's not just in Ghana where they tell things like this. There are similar stories of, you know, related abduction-like experiences told around Kenya, the tip of South Africa, in the Caribbean, Brazil. So there seems to be something going on that people are reporting.
And that just reminds me, you mentioned DNA. So that goes back like to Francis Crick, who is one of the discoverers of the DNA molecule and how that works. And he made a statement, something about the early DNA, I guess, phenomenon, where there was something that happened to make humankind different from apes. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, so Francis Crick was the co-discoverer of the double helix structure of DNA. And back in 1972, he talked about this phenomenon known as directed panspermia, the theory that organisms were basically deliberately transmitted to Earth by other intelligences from other planets, which to me is actually a conceivable concept given how little we know about DNA. It's a relatively new discovery. And the idea that humans today were able to tweak DNA to do all sorts of things with plants and animals and humans, why couldn't another species in this very large multidimensional universe theoretically have manipulated someone else's DNA like ours? But that raises all sorts of questions, because then we have to ask, well, what is a human being?
Yeah. And I think that you say something in your research that we're all one, where it's more than just human beings and we're just this isolated species, but there's this multidimensional way of being that we're all together in this together, and some are for good and some are not for good. And I remember years ago when we did an interview with Jacques Vallée, and he was really talking about how there could be some benevolent species really helping humankind and having our highest good as their agenda, but then there were others that could be malevolent. And it was the first time I had ever even thought about that. And so what we were saying earlier on is having more control or at least a realization that we must know our own consciousness and direct it as best we can towards the good. And that's maybe one of the antidotes. And I'm also thinking, Mark, as we're talking about the different ways that the aliens have shown up in literature or depicted on cave walls and things like that, are the ways that they might have been called leprechauns or elves or demons even or angels, that they get these other names and then we think of them as they're not real, but maybe they really were real and these were just names that culture gave them.
As Jacques Vallée wrote a book called Passport to Magonia a long time ago, where he makes this point that the contemporary sightings of aliens might be what in ancient times they called angels, gods, fairies, devils or elves, things like that. So language is really a challenge here, because certain words have connotations in modern society and it's easy to get stuck into a very particular box when you hear a word. But there might be similarities between some of these words and what people are reporting today.
Exactly. Let's talk about some abductions and what is that? There are a lot of reports of alien abductions. And, you know, is that a terrible thing? Is that a good thing? I guess it's a mixed bag, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. So first, what is an abduction? Because before I started researching this, I had heard about it a little bit, but I didn't realize the extent of what was going on and how much documented research there is on this. So I mentioned John Mack earlier, head of psychiatry at Harvard, Pulitzer Prize winner. And I'm repeating that because this is a very credible person who was not looking at alien abductions for most of his career. And
I just want to interrupt, who we also did an interview with. So he's in our archive for people if they want to find the New Dimensions interview with Jacques Vallée and with John Mack and with Alan Steinfeld. So those are all in our archive.
Okay, those would be good ones to go back and listen to for sure. So John Mack became interested after Bud Hopkins, who was another researcher, got him interested and said, hey, you should take a look at some of these cases. And John Mack, as a psychiatrist, was evaluating what the people were claiming and wanted to see, were these people psychotic? Were they just making it up to try to make money? And his conclusion was that the people were genuine. They had a real experience. And the implications of that are very profound because of what they were reporting and the similarities in what they reported, which is that they were taken aboard crafts and typically operated on. Sometimes their genetic material was extracted, sperm, eggs. Sometimes they were being artificially inseminated. And the people came back talking about an alien humid hybridization program where they would even see the beings on the craft, these hybrids that were part alien, part human. And that raises questions, like you say, why are they doing this? Is this for our benefit or not? One of the things John Mack wrote in one of his books, he wrote two books, one called Abduction, where he goes through case studies of people that were abducted from a psychiatric lens, and another called Passport to the Cosmos. He said that it appears to be an evolutionary insurance program, at least some of the cases, where by creating an alien human hybrid species, you'd preserve some of the human genetics in case humanity blows itself up, for example, and at least something is preserved. But then there are people like Dr. David Jacobs from Temple University, who I mentioned before, who is hearing things from people which suggests that the agenda is potentially darker, that it's about planetary takeover and the beings want to blend in and take over from the inside, apparently, where they can't be detected so easily. And it might be the case that there are multiple agendas, that some of them want to help humanity and others have a darker agenda, and even within species, because during these abductions, people will talk about gray aliens who are involved in these operations, and they'll talk about insectoid beings or praying mantises and sometimes even reptilians. But it could be that just like with humanity, we have some humans, members of the human species who are saintly, others who are the opposite of saintly. It could be the same in some of these species. So just because a gray alien is doing something in one case doesn't mean that all gray aliens are that way. So I try to keep an open mind that there's probably competing agendas here, and we could make arguments for why this is a beneficial thing and also potentially a negative thing. And just one more point is that people often come back from these experiences very much transformed. And this is something John Mack talked about from a psychiatric lens, that if they were able to integrate some of the trauma that they experienced because they were taken on an alien spacecraft, often against their will, that they would have a spiritual awakening on par with what happens from a near-death experience. So that is very significant too, because that could be interpreted as a very positive thing.
Exactly. I'm here with Mark Gober, and we're talking about An Into Upside Down Contact, which is the name of his book, and it's about alien spirits and our ongoing interaction with them. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Mark Gober, and we're talking about contacts with truly otherness.